Good morning again. Whether you're joining us online or here in the sanctuary, welcome to First Unitarian Universalist Church of Austin. We are a spiritual community dedicated to a free and responsible search for truth, meaning, and beauty. I'm Carrie Holly Hurt, a proud member of First UU and a candidate for UU Fellowship. I'm a middle-aged woman with chin-length blonde hair. I'm wearing a black blazer, and I have leopard print glasses because they're the coolest. And my pronouns are she, her. This morning, I'm filling in for Reverend Chris as he's taking time to be with Wayne, his husband, who has entered hospice. As their church community, we are going to protect Reverend Chris's and Wayne's holy time together by giving them space and making sure that Chris has time away from his responsibilities. At the end of the sermon, I'm going to give you more ways that you can reach out, because I know when we love people the way that we love Chris and Wayne, we want to do something. So even as we hold the sad news, it is a joy to be with you all today. I especially want to welcome you if you're new to the church, or if you're joining remotely, if you can, please say hello in the comments and let us know where you're coming from. If you're here in person, please join us for the social hour and pie after worship. Either way, we invite you to fill out the online visitor form at austinuu.org. Simply click on worship, which will then show you a link to the form. We would love to get to know you better. As we work to create beloved community, we welcome all who would join us in building a better world with more love, more justice, and more compassion. We welcome all who would join us in growing in minds and hearts and spirits. We welcome all who would join us in tearing down systems of oppression of all kinds. We welcome all who would join their purpose to ours, in a loving spirit of right relations. We come from a long tradition of seeing a spark of the divine in every person. It is in this tradition, in this living tradition, that I invite you to greet the holy among us, either in the comments or by turning around to those around you. Now let us greet the holy.
Good morning. My name is Mary Overton. I go by she, her pronouns, and I'm the lay leader today. Now we shall light our chalice. This is the flame we hold in our hearts as we strive for justice for everyone. This is the light we shine upon systems of oppression until they are no more. This is the warmth that we share with one another as our struggle becomes our salvation. Today's call to worship is History's Road by Clyde Grubbs and Marjorie Bowens Wheatley. The road of history is long, full of both hope and disappointment. In times past, there have been wars and rumors of wars, violence and exploitation, hunger and homelessness, and destruction of this earth, your creation. We have become a global village with a growing realization of how fragile this earth is and how interconnected we are to each other and to all creation. We cannot continue to live in the old way. We must make a change, seek a new way, a way towards peace with justice and a healthy planet. O great creative spirit, you have given a vision of the good, and we yearn for a new way. But where are we to find the courage to begin this work? We know that a different tomorrow is possible, but how can we build it? We think of the prophets, women and men, who voiced unpopular opinions, who made personal sacrifices, and sometimes lost their lives for the sake of justice. We think of Isaiah, who called out to let those who are held in captivity go free, to give solace to the poor and homeless. Let us be inspired by all who work to overcome misery, poverty, and exploitation. We think of Harriet Tubman, who called out to people of goodwill to join her on an underground railroad, to lift a dehumanized people from the bondage of slavery to the promise of freedom, even when it meant challenging unjust laws. Let us be inspired by those who are outlaws for freedom. We think of Gandhi, whose belief is in soul force, the witness to love's truth, helped to overthrow the oppression of an empire and gave witness to the way of nonviolent action. Let us be inspired to become witnesses for peace. We think of Chief Seattle, who reminded us that we belong to the earth, not the earth to us. Let us be inspired by all those who work for the healing of creation, of Mother Earth and all her creatures. Who are the prophets who inspire you? They may be well known or known only to you, offering personal inspiration, courage, and hope. May they join a great cloud of witnesses to a new way of life, the way of peace and justice, the way of justice lived according to the way of peace, the beloved community. So may it be. Amen.
One of the things that binds First UU together as a religious community is that the congregation has a common purpose. For First UU of Austin, that common purpose is our mission. The congregation wrote it together and put it on the wall of the sanctuary. Every Sunday, church participants say it together so that we may more readily carry it out. Let us say it together now. Together, we nourish souls, transform lives, and do justice to build the beloved community.
My name is AJ Jaraska. I use they, them pronouns. And I'm going to be doing our story for all ages this morning. So I'd love to invite those who are young in chronological age or who just want the best view of the pictures to come up on the stage so we can read our book. And while you're coming up, I am a white non-binary person with short light brown hair, and I'm wearing all black today. So our book today is called Strictly No Elephants. And it's by Lisa Manchev, and it's illustrated by Tae-in Yu. The trouble with having a tiny elephant for a pet is that you never quite fit in. Do any of you have a tiny elephant for a pet? No? Oh, you do. Excellent. Oh, he's just a cat, though, yeah. Many of our animals think that they're something else, don't they? Oh, yes. No one else has an elephant. Every day I take my elephant for a walk. His is a very thoughtful sort of walk. I have a dog that takes very thoughtful walks. It takes a very long time. He doesn't like the cracks in the sidewalk much. I always go back and help him over. That's what friends do. Lift each other over the cracks. Today, I'm walking my tiny elephant to number 17. It's pet club day, and everyone will be there. Come along. That's a good boy. I coax him the last few feet. It'll be fine. When I look up, there's a sign on the door. I bet y'all might be able to predict the sign based on the title. Strictly no elephants. Oh. My tiny elephant leads me back to the sidewalk, never minding the cracks. Oh, he might be sad. He doesn't even care about the cracks. That's what friends do. They brave the scary things for you. Did you try to go to the pet club meeting too? Oop, let me just make sure. No. The girl asks, "Yes," I say, "but they don't allow elephants." "The sign didn't mention skunks," the girl says. "But they don't want us to play with them either." "They don't know any better," I tell her. "He doesn't stink," the girl adds. "No, he doesn't," I agree. "What if we start our own club?" "Come along," I say, making certain that my tiny elephant follows me, because that's what friends do. Never leave anyone behind. There's a bat, a giraffe, a hedgehog. Oh, wow. Armadillo's your mascot of your school. Cool. So we paint our own sign, and the sign says, "Strictly no strangers, no spoil sports. All are welcome." "My tiny elephant will give you directions if you need them." Okay. Because that's what friends do.
Our next reading is titled Via Hafta by Aurora Levens Morales. "Say these words when you lie down and when you rise up, when you go out and when you return, in times of mourning and in times of joy. Inscribe them on your doorposts, embroider them on your garments, tattoo them on your shoulders. Teach them to your children, your neighbors, your enemies. Recite them in your sleep. Here in the cruel shadow of empire, another world is possible. Imagine winning. This is your sacred task. This is your power. Imagine every detail of winning, the exact smell of the summer streets in which no one has been shot, the muscles you have never unclenched from worry, gone soft as newborn skin, the sparkling taste of food when we know that no one on earth is hungry, that the beggars are fed, that the old man under the bridge and the woman wrapping herself in thin sheets in the backseat of a car, and the children who suck on stones, nest under a flock of roofs that keep multiplying their shelter. Lean with all your being towards that day when the poor of the world shall shake down a rain of good fortune out of the heavy clouds, and justice rolls down like waters. Defend the world in which we win as if it were your child. It is your child. Defend as if it were your lover. It is your lover. When you inhale and when you exhale, breathe the possibility of another world into the 37.2 trillion cells of your body until it shines with hope. Then imagine more. Imagine violence is unimaginable. Imagine war is a scarcely credible rumor. That the crimes of our age, the grotesque inhumanities of greed, the sheer and astounding shamelessness of it, the vast fortunes made by stealing lives, the horrible normalcy it came to have, is unimaginable to our heirs, the generations of the free. Don't waver. Don't let despair sink its sharp teeth into the throat with which you sing. Escalate your dreams. Make them burn so fiercely that you can follow them down any dark alleyway of history and not lose your way. Make them burn clear as a starry drinking gourd over the grim fog of exhaustion, and keep walking. Hold hands. Share water. Keep imagining so that we and the children of our children's children may live."
This is the time of our service where we center ourselves together. We breathe together. And breathing together, we sense one another's loving presence. Breathing in and breathing out, we follow our breath to a deeper place inside, a place of greater wisdom, a place where the spark of the divine resides within us. Breathing together, we enter into a time of sacred silence, all the while remembering that no place on earth is silent. I invite you now to light a candle if you are so moved. Candles representing sorrow, joy, hope, remembrance, resilience. Whatever it is you need to honor, you may do so during this time. And as we light candles, I invite you to keep in mind and heart members of our community who are ill or who are in sorrow. Today we hold Victoria Hendricks, who's in the heart hospital with some difficulties. We send our love and hope for answers and healing. And those who are celebrating joy, today we celebrate with Karen Clary as we give thanks for the successful completion of her cardiac rehab stay. Let us hold the silence together throughout this meditative time. Candle for Wayne and Chris. I know that our hearts are with them as they go through this time of transition. And one last candle for those who have no one to light them a candle. I went a long time sleeping in on Sundays, not calculating annual pledges, or attending congregational meetings, and then I became a UU. And all that changed. And it's good. I get to be a part of this beautiful community of like-hearted people. I get to be connected to amazing people all over the place doing really wonderful work. And in this crazy, mixed-up social, political world we live in, I get to feel more hope than I did when I was on my own. I am so grateful. But sometimes I wonder, what makes us different than a social club? Because I could find meaning and connection in a social club. And I probably could sleep in on Sundays. I want, and I think we should all expect something more from our religion than what a social club can offer. And I believe we have that. I'm a firm believer that we should allow our religion to do two things. First, it should motivate us to do the important work of love. And when I say that, I talk about the beloved community, where that looks like getting ourselves free and doing the work to knock down the barriers so others can be free as well. And then our religion should hold us. Through tough and scary times, our religion should hold us. It should comfort us, renew us. And I believe that is what our religion can do for us. But so often, I think we get out of balance. I know often I feel very motivated to act, but very rarely do I let this beautiful religion comfort me. And I need that comfort, that renewal. Because y'all, things are not great. And often they're pretty overwhelming. We have many tools to help us do this, to feel both motivated and held. But the one I want to connect to today is utopian thinking. So first, let me establish what that is. It is not the utopian thinking that led to the 19th century communes. You know, the ones that pop up on History Channel from time to time? Many led by Unitarians. Those are the ones that inevitably fell because of some scandal to do with sex or money or sex and money. That's not what I mean. What I mean is the way of thinking that says the way things are is not how it has to be. And in fact, as Aurora Levins Morales said in that beautiful reading, another world is possible. A world that is more just, more compassionate, and more loving. That world is possible. The way things are isn't the way they have to be. This kind of thinking is at the very core of our religion. And it makes sense because we are a contrarian people. And we have been for our entire history. Let's just think about it. The Unitarians in the 16th century, in a sea of Trinitarians, often at great risk to themselves, said, I don't find that in my text. Universalists said, I know hell is a really effective marketing tool, but how would a loving God ever? At a time when the entire economy of the U.S. was fueled by the trafficking, imprisonment, and forced labor of human beings, Unitarian and Universalist abolitionists said, it doesn't have to be this way. The fight for universal suffrage, it doesn't have to be this way. Those fighting Jim Crow, it doesn't have to be this way. Those fighting for queer rights, it doesn't have to be this way. And when we speak of the beloved community, we are tapping into that core. We are practicing utopian thinking. The beloved community, when no one is starving or being murdered in Gaza, where no one is getting cut up by razor wire at the border, No trans kid is being murdered. No boy is having to bear the brunt of anti-blackness and ableism. No one is unhoused. No one is abused. No one is neglected. No one is abandoned. This is utopian thinking. And it's a beautiful thing. I would say it's our superpower. And certainly, many would tell us that we are being absurd or naive. To them, I would say, try being a Unitarian Universalist in Texas. It is not naive to believe that how things are is not how they have to be. Rutger Bregman, a Dutch historian, said, "I've always believed in the power of utopian thinking. Every milestone of civilization, the end of slavery, the creation of democracy, the attainment of equal rights, these were all utopian fantasies once, until they happened. That's why I think that history is actually the most subversive discipline of all the social sciences, because history shows us that things can be different. They don't have to be this way. We can change them. We can change them is the heart of our religion. And it does so much for us. It allows us a different way of looking at time, at our purpose, and our actions by placing them in the larger scheme of things. For example, when it comes to beloved community, we know that mostly we are planting seeds for a forest we will never see. But when we do the work of building that beloved community, we are bringing some of that utopia down into the lives of people in the here and the now. When we go down to witness what is happening at the border, when we use our sacred space to give asylum to asylum seekers, when we make our church open and loving places for people who are targeted for oppression and marginalization, when we show up to places of power and tell them another world is possible, we are bringing that utopian thinking down into the lives of those that have been harmed in the here and the now. That's powerful. And it is the core of who we are as a people in a liberating faith. But it doesn't mean anything if we just talk about it, if we just hold these as ideas. We have to treat them as a spiritual practice. We can utilize this life-giving aspect of our faith. First, I think that looks like spending time in community, envisioning what is possible. What would it actually look like if we treated everyone as if they had inherent dignity and worthiness? If we lived and worked and spoke like everyone and everything was interconnected. Learning from one another opens us up to the diversity of lived experience and needs. And that allows us in community, it allows us to envision a much deeper and richer future. Envisioning a reality that expands past our individual needs. Secondly, we have to nourish it in ourselves. We nourish it to counteract the pervasive message of the status quo that says, how things are, that's just the nature of things. Bregman says, there's nothing inherent about our current political, economic, and social realities. People made these systems, and they can make them anew. To envision something novel, read more history and less news. There's nothing as anti-utopian as the product we call news. He says that when we allow ourselves to get caught up in sensationalist daily news cycles, it can constrict our ability to see the world as anything but dangerous, violent, and mean. So we nourish it. We nourish our vision. We do that by being intentional about what we are placing our focus on. What are we doing to combat those pervasive messages of sameness? What art are we interacting with? What art are we making? Art opens us up to possibilities and different ways of seeing and experiencing the world. Are we reading poetry? Are we letting Amanda Gordon or Mary Oliver or Maya Angelou to mirror our humanity while also inspiring us with hope? What music are you allowing to flow into you, to flow out of you? Who and what are we spending our time with? I know nothing will pull me out of my Hobsonian notion of human nature being only nasty, brutish, and short faster than a 5-year-old who asks me what their third favorite dinosaur is. Or the way that high schoolers use their voice and their bodies to speak up for justice. Are we doom-scrolling? Or are we being intentionally awakened to the beauty and the joy and the love of the people and the creatures around us? We will not nourish or nurture utopian thinking by living on a constant diet of the status quo. Seeing it as a spiritual practice means we are intentional and disciplined about where we're placing our energy. And finally, we let it nourish us. So often, I think as you use, we feel as if we're just supposed to do it. Just go fight the good fight. And yes, please do that. I don't want to discourage you. But we have to let our religion hold us too. Because if we don't, we just go fight the good fight and fight the good fight and nothing is holding us. That leads to burnout and apathy. We have to let it nourish us. Let it nourish us in the way that it anchors us to hope. Let it nourish us in the way that it anchors us to the past and the present and the future and the whole arc of the moral universe. It is in this that we can stop seeing every election and every bill as the next apocalypse, because we can see the full expanse of our work. We can see the way that our actions are connected to the larger web that holds us all and how they do affect people in the here and the now. So let's let it comfort us, to strengthen us, give us energy for this beautiful work that we are called to do, but also this precious life that we have been given. May it remind us that we are a people of hope and not despair. May it always be so.
As we're extinguishing our chalice, we say these words. We extinguish this flame, but not the light of truth, the warmth of community, or the fire of commitment. These we hold in our hearts until we are together again.
I know that we are all so sad to hear about Wayne. We are sad for Wayne as he prepares to leave this world. And we're sad for Chris as he prepares to say goodbye to his beloved. The most important thing that we can do to love and hold both Chris and Wayne is to allow them this time. So if you need anything, you can reach out to Shannon, and when Reverend Michelle is back in a few weeks, you can reach out to her. This is a holy time for them. Let us honor it by giving them space. But that doesn't mean you have nothing to do. You can show them your love by writing a card or a note. There are several cards in the fellowship hall. Thank you for setting that up. I'm not sure who did it. I'm very grateful. And those will make their way to Chris. and know that you are held too. If you need pastoral care during this time, Reverend Leela Galt has offered to do that. Her information will be up on a slide, and you can contact her if you need anything. And of course, I will be here, and I know there are some other people that can provide pastoral care this morning. And now, as we leave this place, may you feel the warmth of this beautiful community. May you feel motivated and supported and held by this beautiful religion. May you hold yourself and others with love and compassion, just as you are held. Go in peace.
This is a production of the First Unitarian Universalist Church of Austin. For more information, go to our website at austinuu.org.